Now we come to the next part, chapter 33 to 39. Chapter 33 to 39, actually from 33 until 48, is a comfort to Israel. From the first chapter to 32 is a judgment to the Israelite and all nation. So the first part, chapter 1 to 32, is related to God's justice. And the second part, 33 to 48, is related to God's mercy. So the whole book, we can see the balance between God's justice and mercy. And chapter 33 to 39, the hope of the future restoration. From the previous chapters, we see that God prophesied that Jerusalem will lay desolation and the chosen people will be dispersed all over the world and will go into exile and will suffer. However, after the message of punishment being proclaimed, and God turned around and give them the message of hope, the future restoration. So what does that really mean to us? We already repeat so many times. When we have sinned, we have to repent. Even mortal sin. Do you know, according to the First John, there are two kinds of sin, right? The mortal sin, mortal means you committed spiritual, you are dead. For those who are not deep into the dead, then you must repent and God will forgive you. According to 1 John chapter 1. Even the person commit mortal sin, I believe it's better to repent than stick on the sinful way until the person die. It's no good. Even a person commit mortal sin, still repent is better. Maybe God will forgive. Maybe in the future judgment, the punishment will not be so serious. The punishment of God is for repentance, to bring the Israel to repent, so that later on, God can give them blessing. And one thing I'll try to share with you or serve as a reminder. In the previous chapter, we mentioned so much about idolatry. God was so jealous about the Israelite worshiping the idol. And God was so furious about their infidelity. So what does that really mean to us? Anything related to the idol, of course, idol not only limited to something in our heart, which is more important than God. Idol also related to the image made of wood or metal. Anything related to idol, we have to be very cautious to reject it. In San Jose Church, in front of the church, there's another Christian church. And beside the Christian church, there was a Buddhist organization called Ciji. Have you heard about Ciji? Ciji Gongdehui. Ciji, you never heard about it? There was a very famous Buddhist charity organization. And this charity organization right now become worldwide, international charity organization. They even do the charity work until Africa, till China, to America, to everywhere, all over the world. And this charity organization built a school, built a university, and built a hospital. So a lot of people serve as a volunteer. They are doctors and volunteer, free charge, to the hospital. And a lot of teenagers, they serve as a volunteer to the charity work. So right now, the Ciji, charity organization, become very popular. And because of this charity organization, they've done a lot of charity work, a lot of people have a very good feeling about Buddhism. We have to be very cautious. Very cautious. Charity work itself is good. When Acts chapter 10, right? Cornelius, before he believed in Jesus, he gave alms generously and he prayed constantly. And his prayer reached God, and his love giving alms even reached God. So charity work itself is good, but if charity become a means to promote Buddhism, then this charity is a work of Satan. We have to be very cautious, very cautious. So to the Ciji, the charity organization, we have to be very cautious. We should have no part with whatsoever with this charity organization. You donate the money or you receive help from them, it's not good. Why? I know a sister, originally very fervent in the church, but right now I feel very worried about the sister. Why? She still come to church, but at the same time, she attend the Buddhism, some kind of the seminar. And then when we talk with the sister, we found out, because of the charity work performed by Ciji, she has a good feeling about Buddhism. So she started to attend the Buddhism seminar. And then when we talk with her, she emphasized a lot of so-called common ground between Christianity and Buddhism. What is so-called common ground? The common ground is love. But actually it's different. When you talk about the love of Jesus, that love of Jesus will reconcile us with God. Do you know? The love of Jesus will reconcile us with God. Because Jesus' love, he shed the blood to pay it away so that we can go to heaven. But Ciji's love is different. Ciji emphasizes love, but that kind of love, only human love. And because of that kind of love, it's difficult for you to reconcile with God, because that love did not provide a way for the forgiveness of your sin. So when we talk with the sister, he emphasized so much the so-called common ground. And then one thing is very alarming is she started to have a very blur concept about the most important things. The most important thing is something absolute. And the most important thing is the truth to salvation. You, unless one is born of water and spirit, you cannot go into the kingdom of God. This is something absolute. But she emphasized a lot of love and feel that's not important. The most important is love. So I'm very worried about the sister. So if we have anything related to Ciji, your heart will be what? Will be neutralized. You will feel good about them. And then you will lay down your guard against the Buddhism. So this is the most subtle way to defeat a Christian, through the charity work to promote Buddhism. So we have been reading so many chapters about Ezekiel that talk about idolatry, God's hate idolatry, God considered that a betray upon him. So we have no part with charity organization, Ciji. Don't give donation to them. If you want to give donation, why not put into TJC, offering box? Like we can go bring to the Africa, help them to build a chapel, and help the member in need. Why you would give them and promote the Buddhism? Even in my opinion, even when you really try to do the charity work, unless you are sure this organization, you really spend a lot of money into the charity organization. You know, a lot of charity organization, they spend a lot of proportion of the money, what? Become their overhead expense. If you look on the Red Cross, do you know the Red Cross? It's a charity organization, right? If you go into the detail, their secretary or their head of the Red Cross, the salary is millions of dollars, and you donate the money to them. Oh, all the high-ranking workers, high salary. Oh, you don't know. You donate $100, maybe really reach to the poor person about $20 or $30. Another $7 all used for their salary or their overhead expense. No. So if you really want to do the charity organization outside TGC, please make sure how much percentage is really used in the poor person, and go with that organization instead of very famous organization. But the best way is go through TGC. Now we come back to chapter 33. God appointed Ezekiel as a watchman. Chapter 33, verse 1 to verse 9, is talk about the watchman's duty. We already mentioned before, the watchman's duty is to help to warn people, right? When the people encounter the deep dangers, the watchman had to warn them. If the watchman warned them and the person still commits sin, then the watchman is free of responsibility. But if the watchman failed to warn them and the person commits sin, then God will hold the watchman accountable. So sometimes as a preacher, I cannot only preach Jesus love you, that's all. I cannot only see you have peace. Oh. Sometimes in this generation, we have to preach what is sin. We have to preach, you have to repent. Turn and leave. Don't repent. If you don't repent, then in front of you, there will be death. Oh. This is a message not good to swallow. This is a message not easy to take. Oh. But as a watchman, you have to do this. You have to do this. Otherwise, if somebody sinned against God and guys are going to hold me accountable. Oh, right? So the watchman's duty is to preach the warning. No. This is the duty. So chapter 33, verse 1 to 9, God appointed Ezekiel to be a watchman. Verse 10 and 11, chapter 33. Therefore you, the son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, if our transgression and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So God will never feel happy when the wicked die. God will never feel happy when he punishes the wicked, because God is the God of mercy, God, right? Oh. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Change. Quickly, change. If you don't change, you are going to die. Why should you die? God don't want us to die. God wants us to live. But whether we live or we die, all depends on how do we make decision. If you change, turn, then you can believe. You can believe. You can have life. If we don't change, then we are going to die. So verse 10 to 20. The way of God is just. Chapter 33, verse 10 to 20. And this is a repetition of what we learned before, right? If the righteous man commits sin, he will not be, he cannot live because of his righteousness. If a righteous man commits sin, he will die because of iniquity. If the wicked person, 14, and again, when I say the wicked, you shall surely die. If he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right. Verse 15, if the wicked restore the pledge and give back what he has stolen and walk in the statue of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So whether we are going to die or not, okay, it's upon the hand of God, right? But also it's upon our own decision. Both sides. Both sides. So this is verse 10 to 20. Verse 17. And yet children of the people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. But it is their way which is not fair. So there are two ways, right? It's God's way, another is what? Man's way. From the human perspective, God is not fair. But from God's perspective, human beings are not fair. But actually, who is fair? Of course, God is absolute. God's way is fair. So in God, everything is right. He's the absolute standard. Anything against God's nature, anything against God's will, then it's wrong. He is absolute. So we are coming here not to learning something relative. If you are coming here to learn something relative, you don't have to spend time here. A lot of things you can learn from the society. We are coming here to learn something absolute. And something absolute will last forever. And it has come from God. And this is the most valuable things in our life, something absolute. If you live a life which is right in the eyes of God, 50 years later, you turn back and look at the time. Nowadays, you live your life. You will never regret. Because whatever right now, 50 years later will be right later. But if you live according to American culture, if it is right now, 50 years later, it may be wrong. If it is wrong now, 50 years later, it may be right. So the culture is changing from time to time, from place to place. So we have to be very cautious about culture. If the culture is not contradicted with the Bible, yes, we can follow the culture. We should be part of the culture. But if the culture contradicts with the Bible, we should follow the Bible. But very sad is what? Nowadays, when we talk about American culture, right? American culture actually a lot of good culture, a lot of good point we have to learn. But most of people, especially immigrants, they fail to learn that kind of good culture. They learn a lot of bad culture. So we have to be very cautious. Not all the culture is right. And in True Jesus Church, we should develop our own church culture according to the teaching of the Bible. Even in your family life, don't follow the culture in the world. You should develop the family culture based on the teaching of the Bible. I give some example for your reference. When there's a birthday, and the whole family go to McDonald's to celebrate the birthday. Right? Well, if you say it's a birthday for the sake of give thanks to God, it's okay, right? But if you say it's a birthday, try to give credit to human being, then the birthday may not be good, right? You see a lot of killing happen in the birthday in the Bible. Can you find anything good happen in the day of birthday in the Bible? I cannot find any, right? Only the birthday of Jesus Christ. bring us salvation. Right? Otherwise, birthday is bring nothing good. So this is a culture. This is a culture. But do you have to follow that kind of culture? You have to make a judgment. Right? When there's a birthday, that everybody sends a gift. Actually, in your home, right? Everybody, I believe everybody, you have everything, but you still have to send the gift, right? What? Eventually, who make the money? Amazon.com make the money, or the store on sale would make the money, right? But you waste a lot of money. So we have to rebuild our concept, our culture in the church, in the family, according to the teaching of the Bible. The culture, right? In the Saturday or Sunday, the whole family and sitting before the TV watch the football for the ball game, right? Okay, this is part of culture. It's good or bad, I cannot tell, right? But one thing is very good culture. But sometimes in the family we are lacking. The whole family, right, have a family gathering and read the Bible and pray together. When you see the whole family come to the church cooking, how wonderful it will be. You look into the kitchen right now. There are two families cooking there. That's a very beautiful picture. Right? Yes, your family can have family fun together. But seldom you see the whole family come to the church to clean up. Whole family come to the church cooking. And this is so-called spiritual culture based on the teaching of the Bible. Ezekiel say we are the watchmen. Right? The book of Ezekiel. Right now, we are the watchmen. You have to warn the people. We should not only follow the American culture. We have to follow the teaching to build up our own culture. When we say American dream, most of them, including you, when you think about American dream, what do you think the first? When we think about American dream, right? 80 or 90% we think about what? Big house, right? Fancy car, right? Good vacation, right? Everything is material. That maybe becomes the culture. But that is not biblical. When you have the so-called the dream in the Bible, what is the dream of the Bible? Thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done on earth. This is the dream. Thy kingdom come. When the kingdom of God realized in the family, when the kingdom of God realized in the church, there's a righteousness, there's no sin. The husband and wife will never fight. The parents and children will never quarrel because there's a righteousness. Because of righteousness, there is a peace. Very harmonious relationship. Because of the peace, there will be joy. So this is a spiritual culture. This is the direction we should pursue. This is the goal we should pursue. So when we think about the dream, American dream, everything is material. That's not good. So things which can make our life really enjoy it, really feel satisfied, material only play part of it, not all of it. But right now we emphasize too much on material being. So we have to rebuild ourselves. So you have the family, then you become the watchman. You have to watch over the direction of your family, the culture in your family. Try to guide the family into the spiritual direction. Or one day you become the church council member, or even you become ordained minister, you have to watch over the culture of the church. Some of the church, during the lunchtime, you listen carefully. All the people surrounding, what are they talking about? They are talking about stock, they are talking about politics, Minjindang, Gomindang, and they are talking about what is on sale. They become part of the culture. But you see, some of the church, they have different culture. In the lunchtime, a lot of members praying here. A lot of members try to talk to the truth seeker. A lot of members are discussing what kind of holy work we can do the next week. That's another kind of culture. So we are the watchmen. We are the watchmen. Watchmen not only warn us, do not sin. Watchmen also try to guide us into the spiritual direction. And that's what the watchmen should do. So chapter 33, talk about the duty of the watchman. And verse 10 to verse 20. The way of God is just. And verse 21 to 33. This is the recount of the reason of the destruction of the Holy Temple. 21 to 29, the Holy City full of sin. 21 to 29. The Holy City, Jerusalem, was full of sin. And it came to pass in the 12 years of our captivity, the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. Now the hand of the Lord has been upon me that evening before the man come to had, who had escaped. And he had opened my mouth, so when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was opened and I was no longer mute. So before the man come to report to Ezekiel, Ezekiel already know Jerusalem has been captured because God revealed the fact to him. Okay, then God told Ezekiel the reason the city was ruined. Start from verse 24, right? All the way. Actually, it repeats the same thing. Idolatry. Verse 25. Idolatry and eating the blood and shedding, eating the idol, but no, worshipping the idol and shedding the blood. And then 26, defile the wife of the neighbor, adultery. So verse 27, God said they are going to die in the sword. Verse 28, for I will make the den most desolate, her arrogant strength shall cease, and the mountain of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. The proud, the pride will finish. So this is the sin they have committed. And then verse 30 to 33, do not walk, or the English translation is not right. 口是心非的, translated, do not walk and talk. It's different. 口是心非, do you know what is 口是心非? You say one thing, you do another thing. It's not do not walk and talk. Okay. The Israelite, huh? Let's see. Verse 33. Start from 31. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear the words. So the people, the Israelites, right, they come and sit before the temple and listen the words of God, right? But they do not do them. For with their mouths, they show much love, but their heart pursue their own gain. So what does that mean? 口是心非, right? They use their mouths, right? To show their love. But their heart pursue their own gain. So what does that mean? What does that mean? A lot of children tell the parents, I love you, right? Or tell by the mouth. But in turn, doing the family chores, I have no time. You do yourself. Right? So Israelite, they use the mouth to love God, but their heart is not in God. Actually, their heart is pursue the material gain. Verse 33. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who hath a pleasant voice. and can play well on the instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. So like an instrument, right? It is an instrument, very good, but they don't do that. So one day I let my feeling, one of the church choir singing the hymn, right? Jesus loves me. Oh, repeat the new song, not the 510, a new song. Jesus loves me. Everybody was so touched, right? I even shed tears. After the new song, now we are going to clean up the chapel because we are going to have spiritual convocation. Everybody run away. I have this, that one, only 2-3 remain there. You sing the song, so touching, right? Jesus loved me. But when is the time to sacrifice, to serve God? I have no time, I have to go. So what does that mean? That exactly fulfills the same thing, verse 32. No, the music itself is touching, but what? We don't do whatever we are singing. Jesus, I love you. Right? The same thing. So quite often we are doing the same thing. 33. And then when this come to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that the prophet has been among them. So this is 30 to 33. They did not practice what they say. They did not practice what they know. Chapter 34. Since the prophet already corrupted, right, so God himself will become the shepherd for themselves. Yeah, that's chapter 34. Chapter 34, verse 1 to verse 10. This is a condemnation to the shepherd at that time. Namely, they only take care of themselves without taking care of sheep. Now we verse 2, chapter 34, verse 2. Now men prophesied against the shepherd of Israel, prophesied and said to them, thus said the Lord God to the shepherd, woe to the shepherd of Israel, who feed themselves, should not the shepherd feed the flock? So they only take care of themselves without taking care of the flock. Verse 3. So you eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool, and you slaughter the fatling, but you do not feed the flock. So they fail to fulfill their duty. And then, next one. To the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So instead of taking care of them, the shepherd rule over them, exercise authority over them. So this is chapter 34, verse 1 to 10. I talk about the shepherd in that generation failed to be responsible. And 11 to 34 of chapter chapter 34, the Lord himself will become a shepherd again. Chapter 34, verse 7 to 10, is talk about since they failed to fulfill their responsibility, so God is going to deal with them. God is going to punish them because they are unfaithful workers. So what does that mean nowadays? From the, if you scale it down, it can represent your own family. It can represent the duty we have been assigned in the church. If you are the RE teacher, or the church council member, or the full-time minister, we all have our own duty. And each duty has their own responsibility. So be a responsible shepherd to fulfill our duty. Now, 11, from verse 11 to verse 20, to verse 34, is talking about the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is God himself. And God become human being, is Jesus Christ. So how did Jesus introduce himself? I am the good shepherd. So Jesus is a good shepherd. So right now, we have two kinds of shepherd. One is a human being, the worker of God in the church. Another is Jesus Christ himself. He will take care of us. Especially in the New Testament time, Jesus Christ can take care of our need. So sometimes you can see the member living in a very far away place. If the member know how to draw near to Jesus Christ, always you can hear the member have very wonderful testimony. As a human being, human shepherd cannot reach to so far, but they know how to draw themselves to God, and Jesus become the shepherd to take care of them personally, directly. This is one thing we have to remind ourselves. After you graduate, if you're looking for a job, you should not only consider salary. Whoever give me the high pay, I move there. It's not a good way. The Christian value is not oriented in the material. The first thing you consider is, what? Where does God want me to move? Yes, you may able to move to the place where there's no church. You know, right now, United States, we have 22 churches and house of prayer. Where come the 22 churches and house of prayer? Because some members, after graduate from study, and they move to the place where they work. After more members gather together, they start to form a family service, and later on, they form the house of prayer, and later on, they form the church. So the 22 churches at House of Prayer start from some member move to that location. So surely you can move to a place where there's no church, but with one condition. If your faith is not strong enough, or if you don't have the sense of mission to preach the gospel, then the best way is to move close to the church. That will be the best. You look into United States, a lot of members, they live far away from the church. Marriage has a problem. And they talk the children's faith has a problem. A lot of problem. So you can move to the place there is no church, but one condition is you have to understand God's will. And you have to have a mission to spread the gospel there. But even if you know God's will to move to a place there is no church, we have to understand Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Not many members can visit us, help us, but Jesus Christ can take care of us. If we know how to gather together to worship God, to be closer to God, then you are going to experience the abundant grace of God. So sometimes I heard, used to be a sister, call me. Every time I heard the testimony of the sister, I was so touched. She lived in the very far away. There's no church. But God personally teach her how to keep the Ten Commandments. Have you heard about how to keep the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments, when we look into Ten Commandments, it's very easy, right? From 1 to 10, very easy. But if you go a little bit deeper, Ten Commandments is not easy. It's not easy. God personally teach her how to keep the Ten Commandments. And she lived very, very far away from the church, but she had very vivid and powerful experience about God's blessing, God's guidance, even God's chastisement. So God becomes the shepherd to her. So when you want to make a decision, where are you going to live? The first thing to consider is not the pay. The first thing to consider is why, what, where do God want you to live? The second, do you have the mission to establish a church there? Oh, this should be the first priority of your consideration. If you understand God's will, just go. Don't worry. Because God is a good shepherd. God will take care of you. Even nobody can take care of you. Surely, you are going to grow spiritually. We know we have not only one family, few family. I have the experience. They study in a place there is no church. After they finish the PhD degree, 3-4 family convert to Christ. And in one time we went to the New York, Rochester or where. There's a location. 2-3 family study there. And they gather together, because they gather together, a few family believe in Jesus Christ. So even if you are a student, you can do the work for God. If you have the sense of mission, you can do it. So Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Where there is no church, Jesus Christ can take care of you. Don't worry. If you understand His will, He will take care of you. No problem. So He is a good shepherd. How did Jesus perform the duty as a good shepherd? There are 3 points. The first point, seeking. Verse 11 to 12. Thus said the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search my sheep and seek them out. 12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he was among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on the cloudy and dark day. So the first responsibility is go around to seek the lost sheep. This is the duty. Also, sometimes it's very difficult. And when I look into the central region or United States, I really find out it's not so easy. The members scatter around so many different cities. So those who are assigned in the central state must be very young. Why? Because you're good in driving. When you reach to the 50, when you're driving, you're dozing. but some of the ministers, they are physically are very, very good. They can drive 10 hours nonstop, from up and down, east and west. They're looking for the lost sheep. And this is the duty of the good shepherd, first, to seek the lost sheep. And the second is to separate. And the third is to bless them. Separate from 17. From 17 onwards. 17 to 22 is to separate. Separate from the good and the bad, right? The sheep from the goat. And before we reach to the 17, let's come back to verse 11 to 16. Verse 15, 34, 15. And I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down. Verse 16, I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away and bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them my judgment. Oh. Okay. So the shepherd will take care of the sheep, the broken one, the skinny one, the lost one. Oh, how wonderful it is. Oh, Jesus Christ will take care of us. So Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in want. And then what is next? He bring me to the green pasture, right? Make me lie down beside the still water. Oh, right? Still water, and you lie down. And in green pasture, you can eat without worry. Oh, so that's talking about when we have the abundance of Jesus Christ. In your heart, you have no worry. In your heart, you have rest. In your heart, you have peace. In your heart, you have no fear. No fear, no worry. You have peace, you have rest. Jesus is a shepherd. Right now, Jesus abides in us, dwells in us. This is the most precious experience in our spiritual life. So when you talk about the blessing of God, we should not only focus on material blessing. A lot of people, they don't believe in Jesus. Still, material, they live an abundant life. Right? Also, when we believe in Jesus, we should not only focus on that. We have to focus the blessing in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness. Jesus will set you free. The power of Jesus will set you free from the bondage of sin. How wonderful it will be. Previously, you smoke. Right now, you don't have to smoke. Right? Previously, you stick, you addicted to something. Right now, you are free from the addiction. This is called so-called righteousness. And then peace. No fear. Right? No worry. That means peace, tranquility, and inner fulfillment, joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is the most important blessing. God promised to give us, and we can pursue. This is the first to seek after us, looking for the lost one. The second one is to separate the bad one from the good one. And the third one is to bless them. Now let's look into verse 25 to 34, to 31. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the wood. Verse 26, I will make them the place all around my hill a blessing. Where is the places all around my hill, a blessing? Where is my hill? My hill referring to what? The church. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2, right? 有一山超过诸山. There's a hill high above the other hill. And that hill is true Jesus church. In Isaiah chapter 2. So, verse 29. Okay, 26. Instead of 29. A hill of blessing. The church is a hill of blessing. And I will cause shower to come down in their season. The shower represents Holy Spirit. So how can we receive blessing in the church? You pray, 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 and you are filled by the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of God will come naturally. And you, when you know the words of God, you try to do it, and you will receive blessing. So there are two keys to receive the blessing. Do the words of God, and be filled by the Holy Spirit. These are the two keys you receive blessing. If you don't believe, you try. You can experience that. From today on, whatever the teaching of the Bible, you know it, you do it. If you want to keep Sabbath, just keep Sabbath from your heart. You have to offer the tithe, just offer the tithe from your heart. You have to serve God, just do the holy work from your heart. If you want to help others, just love others from your heart. You try 1 year to see next year what will be the difference. You are going to experience a lot of blessing of God. The first one, do it, not only know it. The second one, every day you pray. How long? The Bible never say pray 30 minutes or 25 minutes or 1 hour. How long should you pray? Just set a goal. You pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Then how long? I don't know. Or you just pray until you're filled by the Holy Spirit. How long? I don't know. Maybe 30 minutes, maybe 1 hour, right? You just set a goal. When you reach the goal, you can finish your prayer, filled by the Holy Spirit. If every day you pray until you're filled by the Holy Spirit, you try 1 year. Next year, you do the time of testimony, or I think more than 10 people line up want to testify. Because you are going to receive a lot of blessing. Just so they are too secret to receive the blessing. Do it, whatever the teaching of the Bible says. Second, pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is a hill of blessing. You come here to receive the blessing. How? Let the shower come upon the land. And then because of the shower come, so the ground is going to yield the fruit, and you are going to live in peace. And all the yoke, all the bondage will be broken. You are no longer to be enslaved. You will enjoy prosperity. Prosperity in God's blessing. How wonderful they will be. So God, Bible gives us a very beautiful picture of your life. You are in the beginning of your life. Try to imagine that beautiful picture of your family. Try to imagine that beautiful picture in your life. Live in the hill of God. Receive the shower of blessing. Enjoy the fruit come from the tree. That is God's promise to you. Let's pray in silence. Amen. That's rest.